Yeah, after salvation, it's good that you turn away from your sins, but that's not the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus finished work on a cross, paid for everything. You place your faith in that alone, and he saves you.
All right, I'm here today with Tommy Bianchini, and we're going to talk about how he came to faith in Christ. But I've seen you here for probably about a month now, I think.
Yeah,
probably. And you're originally, well, you're coming from Chicago, right?
Yeah, Brookfield, Illinois.
Yeah. So how'd you find Bible Line? Just out of curiosity.
I think it was one of my recommendations.
Oh, on YouTube?
Yeah, on YouTube. And I clicked on it, and I just loved what I heard. It's like not many churches nowadays that's speaking the truth.
Yeah, we were just talking before the interview about all the, we were talking about James chapter 3, where where teachers are going to have greater condemnation, and how flippant, especially false prophets, like how flippant they are with the word of God.
Right.
And how God's elevated his word above his own name. And it's scary. I was telling you before, it's like sometimes I just want them, just stop. Not even for the cringe aspect, but just, it's terrible to see what people are making the word of God say.
Right.
You know, speaking of that, I know we were talking a couple days ago in our pre-interview about how you came to faith in Christ. Can you share maybe what you thought before you came to faith, and then how you heard the gospel and what you did?
Well, before, I didn't have a grasp on anything. I was searching.
Yeah.
And nobody ever set me down and told me this is the gospel.
Yeah.
So I just kind of had to figure out on my own. My family never told me. I got friends who are Christian. They believe on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, but they never told me the gospel.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I basically had to figure out my own. And one day I was sitting... Well, this is after my accident, after I had my accident, my car accident. I was sitting in my room, and I bumped my keyboard, and I saw a preacher speaking about Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, that he died for our sins. But he's also preaching on sin.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he had the gospel right, but it just led me to search, you know, and I found that through his death, burial, and resurrection for our sins, that if we place our faith in that, we're saved.
Amen.
For eternity. And then, yeah, after salvation, it's good that you turn away from your sins, but that's not the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus finished work on the cross, paid for everything. You place your faith in that alone, and he saves you. And not everybody's preaching that anymore.
No, it's hardly ever.
Yeah.
Especially online, you can get caught up in a real bad web.
And I did.
Yeah. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, after I was saved, right away, I didn't know what Bible to use.
Yeah.
Because there's like 300 of them. And, and I asked the Lord, I'm like, what Bible should I be using? And just a prayer I did. And right away, I think it kind of led me to the King James Bible. And but before I did that, I turned on YouTube for information, and I should have never done that. And it just led me to people that I thought was preaching the truth, but they weren't, like John MacArthur, John Piper, or what's the other guy? Paul Washer.
Paul Washer, yeah.
Yeah. Led me to those kind of people, and I should have never turned to YouTube. I should have just stuck to my Bible and let the Holy Spirit lead me to the truth.
Did watching like Piper, MacArthur, Washer, did it cast doubt
on
what you had previously understood?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so how did you kind of pull out of that? Because there's a lot of people I know that are here on Bible Line in our channel sphere that have been there.
I think it was the Holy Spirit, because it kind of cast doubt on them, not what I learned. It's like, don't listen to them.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
you know, they're contradicting what the Word says, and that's what I felt inside. So it kind of led me to read the Word and not rely on these teachers.
Absolutely.
And I think that was a blessing.
Yeah. Well, and I think what you said there, that it cast doubt on them, is a good sign, because I think a lot of people immediately today, they will look at themselves. We're in a very like egocentric culture, especially with like social media. We have accounts for ourselves and all sorts of stuff like that. And I think what happens is people hear something that's different and they go, oh, that was something that I'm doing wrong. Like, I'm the one who's wrong. And this person, you know, they have they're on the big stage with the big microphones and all that stuff. And they must be right and I must be wrong. There's a video that I posted on the community tab of BibleLine a while ago, and it was John Piper talking to a young lady who was asking for assurance that she was a part of God's chosen, the elect. And MacArthur's a staunch Calvinist. I mean, he very clearly has his position known. But this girl was like, you know, I'm taking communion. I love God. But how do I know that I'm a part of the elect? And she later clarified and said, how do I know that I'm going to heaven? Like, how do I know that I'm saved? And MacArthur asked for her name. Her name is Joy. And she was just told, well, the way that you feel about God is how you can know that you're saved. Right? And I mean, the first time I watched that video, I was emotional. Like, yeah. I cried for her. It's because sad.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you know, she spent money to go to that conference. I don't know if she's local or not, but the poor girl is tormented by a lack of assurance. And, you know, the Bible says so very clearly, you can know that you have eternal life. I mean, 1 John 3:3 says, every man that has his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I mean, we're already pure. The sanctification process of our salvation is something that God will reward us for, but what justifies us and gives us that forthcoming glorification when we die or when we're raptured is faith in Christ.
Right.
But it's like, you know, we got spotlights in here right now. It's like moving the spotlight off of the Bible and onto yourself. And it's just, it throws people for a tizzy, and it's sad to see.
Yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of people's taking the spotlight off Jesus and putting it on yourself.
Yeah.
And that's not right.
So how long ago did you put your faith in Christ?
In May 2016.
May of 2016? Yeah. Oh, it's April at the time of this recording, so May's coming up. Yeah. So what have you been doing since then? Like, how has your life changed?
Since then, I've been trying to soul win on YouTube, because the time I got saved was kind of hard because I was doing therapy. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I could use YouTube as a tool to soul win.
Yeah.
And I don't have to go out and spread tracks and like that. But I've been passing out tracks too.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that and reading my Bible and trying to grow in my faith.
What's the number one thing that you are thankful for now that you know the gospel?
That I know I'm saved, and if I die, I'll go to heaven.
Yeah.
You know, it's a wonderful thing to know that you're saved.
Yeah.
To really know. You're at peace. And before I got saved, I was like in torment.
Yeah.
And I was very depressed. Now it's like anything could happen around me. I'm not focusing on a storm. I'm just focusing on Jesus.
Amen. That's exactly what we see with Peter when he walked out on the water in the storm.
Yeah.
He kept his eyes on Christ. And then when he looked at his circumstances, like, oh, I'm walking on water. We don't do that. Oh, there's a storm out here. I should not even be in the water because there's a storm.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he takes his eyes off Christ and he begins to sink. It's sad that people use that as an illustration of salvation, which is not, has nothing to do with salvation. It has everything to do with keeping our eyes on Christ and service related. What I think is interesting about what you've chosen to do is, you know, obviously your life has changed. You know, you had the accident and we were talking about that a little bit before. But I think there's a lot of people that can see, based on what we're talking here, that you have a peace that goes beyond the natural understanding.
Right.
I want to touch on what you said about the torment thing. Like, were you in torment, like, before you got saved? Like, did it come in waves? Like, there'd be something that happened and it would make you think about, where am I going to go when I die? Or was it always unrest? Like, were you always wrestling with this thought of...
Well, I was very depressed because of the accident. Mm-hmm. And at one point, I really thought about committing suicide. Mm. And the reason I didn't is, like, what if, you know, heaven and hell?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, that's why I was still searching to see, you know, for the truth. And I hadn't, you know, it's funny that I kept away from the movie The Passion of the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was for a reason or not, but after I watched it, after I was saved, I kind of got it a little bit, even though there's a little Catholic doctrine in there.
Yeah.
I still resonated with it.
Yeah.
You know, after I watched it. But, yeah, I was tormented, like my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't... Like, if I watch a bad movie and go to sleep, I get really bad nightmares, stuff like that. I don't know if, you know, people think there's a devil behind every rock. I don't think like that.
Yeah.
But they can't influence you. I know that.
Yeah.
But it's little stuff like that. But after I got saved, all of that went away. I slept like a baby. You know? But, yeah.
Well, I mean, would you agree you had peace because you knew what God's word clearly said?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what, there's two things I want to comment on that. Like, the first thing is we need to know the word. We need to be men and women of the word,
right?
Not people who teach the word. And I know that seems contradictory because here we are on a YouTube channel where I'm, you know, hosting and posting content over and over. But I would delete this channel in a heartbeat.
Right.
If it helped people get further and closer to Christ in their word. I know, and the way that we have designed it, you know, speaking about me and Trent, it's, we want to point people to the word. So it's not like, I need to go see what Pastor Jesse says about this.
Right.
You know what? One of these days I'll be gone. Or, you know, we don't have the channel anymore. I tell people all the time, we're only here as long as YouTube allows us. So,
yeah.
You know, if all of a sudden your favorite YouTube commentator disappears, does your faith also dwindle? We need to put our faith in the word. And we do that by placing our faith in Christ. But to grow up into the word is to learn it, understand it. I'm talking about this on Sunday morning about adding to your faith. But then the second thing is that that what you said about a devil behind every rock. There's so many people that are like that today, or I want to say the devil. I mean, we know the scripture says the devil is not, does not have the power that God has. He's under his control. Right now he has power over this world, and there are demons. And I do think demons are a real thing and they do influence people. But I was just talking with someone the other day, and you had just brought this up, so I brought it to my mind. They like take their Bible and put it behind their head, and they like hold a cross, and they think that these things, the physical cross and the physical Bible on printed paper, is what's going to protect them. But they're just objects. You know, they're objects. One of them points to the sacrifice of Christ as a remembrance, and the other one contains the word of God. But people miss it, and that's because they're not... There's an inward transformation that happens, and it's an inward birth, as the Bible tells us. It's brand new. So it's nice to hear that all your nightmares go away, and that you can sleep easier because you're resting on the word of God.
Yeah, his word.
Yeah. So you have a YouTube channel, and we'll put that link in the description. Okay. What's your goal with your YouTube channel?
Just get people to focus on the word of God, because it's the most important thing there is. It's eternal. Everything else will fade away. And the word said, whatever was done in Christ will last.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else will not. It will be burned up as hay and stubble and sticks and rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Just was in this. If you think about that, that means a lot.
Yeah.
And I just want to point people to the word. And there's a lot of doubt on what is the word of God. And I try to tell people, you know, this is where the word came from.
Yeah.
And you should rest your faith on a King James Bible.
Yeah.
And because that is the true word of God.
Yeah, people don't realize how much these other translations change words. It gets bad. I remember telling somebody in the NIV in Acts chapter 8, wherever the Ethiopian eunuch is baptized.
Oh, yeah. They take
Paul
that out.
Philip says to him, or the Ethiopian eunuch says, what must I do to be baptized? Or something like that. He says, saved.
What hinders
something.
Me to be baptized?
Yeah. And Philip, in the original text, you know, and in the King James, says, if you believe with all your heart, you know, if you believe on Jesus Christ, then that's it. The NIV removes that. Then there's other ones like the ESV, which I've studied both of them, the ESV, the NKJV, and all that. What I don't like is that they change the tenses of the word believe. And so someone will read in Hebrews for a sec, you know, for a second. They'll look in like Hebrews chapter 10, and it's like, them that are being sanctified. I mean, yes, we are being sanctified, but that text is not talking about the sanctification that is ongoing. It's not talking about that. It's talking about the justification that happened the moment that Christ died on the cross.
Right.
And you put your faith in him. Other words like believe, they change to are believing or continue in belief.
Or being saved.
Being saved. No. Yep. And we are being saved from the power of sin, but we're not. This is not a trial run to see if we're going to make it into eternal life. Another one, which is, I think, the worst one, is 1 John 3:9. This is those that practice sin. I can't remember exactly how that verse goes, but it's you're born of God, doth not practice sin. And the word commit there is commit one single act, which is clearly talking about your new nature, which is sinless.
Yeah.
And your old nature is what you still have sin with, and you're trying to walk in your new nature. But they'll use like 1 John 3:9 as a total text manipulation. And all of a sudden now people, the eyes come off of Christ, and it comes back to my works. Have I done enough? Have I believed enough? Have I confessed enough? All that stuff. There's a huge thing on the internet going on right now about calling on the name of the Lord.
Yeah. I think the main reason is because they're not saved to begin with. Mm. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, it says, they that don't believe the record of God had made them a liar.
Yeah.
And I think that's their whole ministry, to make God a liar.
Yeah.
To begin with.
And to make themselves the arbiters of truth.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you want to know what it is? Well, before you read your Bible, come check what I have to say. That's why we do it all the time here. Like, Trent puts the scripture up. Like, I want people to see. We're going to read here. We're going to look. And if we look at a Greek word, I'm going to tell you, this is the most common understanding of the word. But within the whole scope of the text, this is what it means. Like the word repent. Jesus used it all the time as a change of mind. He when he was talking about the tower that fell and killed 18 people or whatever, he's like, you need to repent, turn from your sin. I mean, that would be out of place in today's vernacular. But in the way that he used it, you need to change your mind about what you thought killed these people and look at the truth. And so when Peter says repent and be baptized, he's not saying turn from your sin and be baptized.
Right.
He's saying change your mind about your rejection of Christ as the Messiah and believe on him.
Yeah.
I mean, some people think in verse 37 that they already got saved because they were pricked in their hearts that they knew. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But that word repent is very clear. But when people manipulate it, now it becomes the pastor who tells you if you've turned away from enough sin.
Yeah, I made a funny video about repent of your sins. That the father tries to share the gospel with his little kid, but the little kid ends up being already saved and knows more about scripture than the father. it's pretty neat. Yeah.
Well, I think it's been encouraging. I remember you coming into church, I want to say a month ago, maybe more than that.
Yeah.
I've got a 5-month-old, so time is kind of, you know, whatever. When the sun is up, it's day. When the sun is down, it's night. But I remember talking to you, and I'm just really encouraged that you're here.
Yeah.
And I know you'll be going back to Chicago for a little bit, but you're planning on coming back.
Yeah.
And I know that people watching will be encouraged too, because you're a Bibleline listener.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's pretty neat. But also to see, you know, you're in this situation that you're in, where a lot of people, if I can be frank, you know, they would have kind of thrown in the towel and just.
No, you got to keep moving on.
Yeah. And to see that and to see where your focus is, that it's on Christ. It's extremely encouraging, and it's a proof. It's a proof case that trusting in the Word is enough. It's not. It's like not almost enough. Like, and you need this self-help positive talk too. You're just relying on the Word, and that's very refreshing, and it's very rare. So my encouragement to you is to keep it up.
Yeah, I got my good days and my bad days, but
I'm sure we all do.
I try to keep motivated and to share the good news.
Yeah, and I like that you're clear on the gospel.
Yeah.
And that you're willing to share that. You gave me one of your gospel cards that has the get out of hell free.
Yeah, I got one right here.
Yeah, I loved it. When I saw it, I thought, that's pretty clever. And that you share, you're passing those out all the time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that the right camera? Don't chance it. Get out of hell free. This card may be kept until needed. Offer expires when you die. It looks legit. And then on the back, this one too? Back here? Boom, right there. And then it has all this information. And you have a QR code on there too.
Yeah, it leads to a video. If they don't know the gospel's on there.
Is it a video on your channel?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of people wouldn't even go to this length. And I'm not saying you have to, but it's nice that you're doing it and that people are hearing about it. So.
Yeah, I chose a business card because I could carry a lot on me.
Yeah.
And it's just simple.
Yeah, absolutely.
They can put it in their pocket and not throw it away.
What are some of the reactions you get when you pass that out?
There's like, no, thank you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no. Or they'll read it and give it back.
Mm.
Yeah, but some of them put it in their pockets.
Yeah.
You know.
Planting seeds, man. Yeah,
planting seeds. That's all you can do.
I play disc golf, and I try to go like once a week and get out there and like throw the disc around, but I'm working on a disc golf tract that like I'm going to leave in the baskets.
Oh, okay. Stuff.
I don't know how it's going to work because disc golf is a very like, I don't know. Some of the people are kind of like spacey a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
I never heard of disc golf.
I never heard of it either, but it's fun, man. I like it. And it's way easier than regular golf. And it's less expensive and it costs less like time, you know. Like, but I'm thinking about something to do that because the more opportunities that we have to get people in front of the gospel, we have no idea what people are going through. Zero.
Right.
And how much people may be praying for the truth. Like when you bumped your keyboard and all of a sudden you start thinking about sin and about your sin. And I mean, I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to lead you and guide you into truth.
Right.
And you came across the truth. You put your faith in Christ. Now you have a ministry. You have an opportunity. But I feel like if we get real pessimistic and we say like, people don't care, blah, blah, blah. Like then we really start doing damage, like in a negative way. But if we're ready, we're willing and able, we have those kind of opportunities, why not make a disc golf track and leave it on a basket? You never know. Someone could pick it up.
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
And they're looking for that. So, well, it's been great, man. I've enjoyed this time.
Oh, me too.
We'll be sure to put your channel down in the description down there. And for those of you who have a question for Tommy, leave it in the comments. I'm sure you know he's got his channel and he's frequent here. So he'll check that and... And if you have a question, a Bible question about anything, really, send it to us. Questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. And until next time, we're going to keep looking up because Jesus certainly is coming soon.
Yeah.
God bless you guys. Thank you.
God bless.
If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.